So today when the soldiers were doing house-to-house searches, one of the things that they were doing was registering the names of all of the children in the camp in order to enter them in a database as stone throwers and, you know, to imprison them later. And one couple who didn't have any kids was held outside in the rain for about 5 hours because if a Palestinian couple does not have children, the Israeli military thinks that that means that the parents would be suicide bombers because they have nothing to live for if they don't have any children. Or they think that the couple is lying and that they do have children but they're stone throwers and that the kids are in hiding for throwing stones. And keep in mind that the third or fourth largest military in the world tends to be powerful military with heavily armed tanks, Apache helicopters, F-16. And there's no way that a little kid throwing stones at the tank is going to harm the tank at all. But still, the little kids are now considered terrorists, and I listen to the news, and they're talking about the war on terrorism, and we're sleeping in shit here in this house as the soldiers come around and they pound on the doors with the M16, their rifles. They force everyone out of bed. If you're not fast enough to open the door, they break it down. They come around in groups of about 7 soldiers with guns and bulletproof everything. And terrorize the families. Take everyone's ID, shout at them, poke their guns in their stomachs, make them stand against walls, make them sit down, stand up, stand in their heads, really, whatever they want, whatever they decide that the people should do, and the amount of humiliation that they force on the people when they're doing this, just sickening, the arrogance, and it's just the disgusting methods of these soldiers. It's really horrific to witness, and the fear in many of the Palestinians who go through this. I'm looking out the window right now, and the tank is turning its headlights on and off, and I didn't know if it's to tell me not to look out the window or if it's for another reason. Things have been so crazy. And I can't say everything that's going on because another thing they do is they don't allow Friedman's phone calls. They monitor them in and out of the camps and in and out of most of occupied West Bank and occupied Gaza Strip. So what happens is the tanks and the jeeps surround the camp and shoot sometimes into the camp and gun the engines so that clouds of black smoke go through and shoot rubber bullets or real bullets. Rubber bullets can kill you also. And they shoot tear gas. So yesterday I was with some kids and they were throwing stones at the tank. These are little kids, you know. And the only form of resistance they have really besides living through a day. And the tank shot out a sound bomb, which is meant to frighten the people and to keep the silence and inside of their home to force the might of the Israeli military. And the sound bomb landed at my beside my foot, and I felt the heat on my leg, and my right ear went deaf. So by the way, I can't hear in my right ear anymore. And it went inside to the community center. And we had to be, there were 3 of us in there. We had to hide. We had to be silent. These are people living in their own camp. They're already refugees in what's supposed to be their own country, but it's not. And they're being silent and creeping up to look out the window as the soldiers walk past. And the thing that's most frightening for the people is when the soldiers are actually out of their tanks and out of the APCs walking around in the camp, because that's when they grab people. And when they grab somebody, then they beat them and arrest them. And once you get arrested by the Israeli military, you know that you certainly will be tortured under interrogation. And maybe you'll never get out, which happens to a lot of people. There are 3 people today who I know besides the two that were held out in the rain for 5 hours. Three people were held outside for most of the day, and they were surrounded by 30 soldiers. These were people who got pulled out of their houses, and none of them are on Israel's wanted list, and this wanted list is ridiculous to begin with, but they weren't even on it. And then two others, a married couple, besides the ones I already mentioned, were held outside also in the rain for most of the day. One is a journalist with El Coots, and the other is the wife of a strong political activist. It's just to terrorize the people into silence and a quiet death. I haven't been able to walk out of this house all day, all last night. I know tonight will be the same. I was meant to actually leave the West Bank today and to go back to Gaza. But this is what happens when, for Palestinians, you know, the Israeli military sweeps in and seizes your ability to move. Can't go to the store. Schools are closed, work's closed, everything's closed. You can't move. You can't go visit your friends across the street inside of the camp. I went with a woman who lives in this camp, wanted to visit her mother in the other camp. And her walk should be maybe 3 minutes, and instead it was an hour to get around the soldier. She risked her life to go just to see her mother was okay. It's the kind of stuff that happens regularly. Although people are frightened and horrified that this is happening, they're also really used to it. It's just part of their lives. It's like a game. And then that's what it becomes. And they say, well, the soldiers were playing with us. The tanks play with them by, coming in a little, gunning the engines and shooting. Shooting tear gas. I was shot with tear gas yesterday also, as was everybody else who was outside or looking out a window. There's people living in their homes in the refugee camps, and what kind of arrogant group of people comes in and says that Palestinians stay inside of their houses. They've just driven around the camp making an announcement that the curfew is still enforced. You know, by what right can they enforce a curfew on an entire people and tell them that they have to stay inside of their houses because they want to drive their tanks around? And they want to walk around with their guns, poke the guns in people's stomachs and tell them to stand against a wall or to come outside or put their shoes on or not put their shoes on or demand their phone number. Kind of an arrogant people does this.
Has any of the infrastructure been destroyed or any homes?
Yes. Two homes been destroyed and the roads are just get destroyed from when the tanks roll through. Tanks are incredibly heavy, and they squish the pavement, actually, and so they create divots in the pavement and the shape of the tires of the tanks. And the more times the tank rolls on the pavement, the more the road collapses, and the pavement crumbles and falls apart. So that's what's happening inside of the camp now. But it's also been reported that the Israeli military is using restraint right now. And you hear this, using restraint. Using restraint in what? What business do they have to be here in the first place? Not using any sort of restraint at all. The Palestinians, in fact, are using restraint. They made an agreement here not to shoot back in any kind of way, only throw stones. And in this way, this now is looking like the first intifada, where everyone is together. It's a collective will here in the camp, and the only form of resistance will be to retain their dignity, and some of the people will throw stones at the tank. And this is really powerful. It feels really powerful here, the way the people are resisting this. The Israeli military just has no business being here. Anything they do here is wrong. By no right are they here. They came pounding into this house, demanding to know who was here, demanding people's ID, reading them off over the phone to enter them in a database. they can add people to their list if they want. They have a list of wanted.
If the person from UNRWA, Ian Hook, who was killed yesterday, was a Palestinian, what do you think would happen in the press?
Well, it happens regularly that UNRWA employees who are Palestinian are killed by the Israeli military. And have you seen that in the press? I haven't.
No. They don't, you know, they've only mentioned...
UNRWA is one of the largest employers of Palestinians, particularly in the Gaza Strip, and they get killed regularly, just like all Palestinians do. It doesn't make it into the press. I mean, consider what's happening in Rafah in the south of the Gaza Strip. There's nothing, and what's happening there is a full-on massacre. And psychologically and physically, and it's not in the press. I mean, go what happened in Jenin. What did the press do with that? They debated whether or not it was a massacre. How many people would have to be killed in order to call it a massacre? You know, in historically, 5 people can be killed and they call it a massacre. We're arguing over whether it was 50 or 100 people killed in Jenin. Even the Israeli military admits to 52. In one fell swoop, you know, that makes the massacre, doesn't it? Butchering people inside of their homes. The press helps the Israeli military to be as brutal as it is. I just heard, just when I was sitting here taking my shift of being awake, I heard part of the BBC saying something about, you know, the war on terrorism. And I was thinking about how, you know, people are trying to get an hour's worth of sleep inside of this camp. But most are sitting up and most can't sleep and they're terrified. Israeli military is walking around inside. They're gunning their engines and tanks up. And they're walking around arresting people and terrorizing people. And this is, you know, part of this so-called war on terrorism. Like, who are the terrorists? The Israelis are the terrorists. The Israeli military and the Israeli government. If it weren't so disgusting the way this gets played, it would be laughable. The soldiers started knocking down people's doors at 7 o'clock in the morning today. It's a Sunday. You know, and I thought about, this happened in the States. One Sunday, if every person in the States had the Israeli military come and knock on their door and stick a gun in their stomach and demand their ID, how long would this last? People had any idea what was actually happening. Imagine how indignant the arrogant residents of the United States would be if they got interrupted on a Sunday morning like that. If they got pulled out of their beds and they had to go stand outside in their pajamas.
How long do people think this is going to last? Do they have any idea at all?
People always speculate. And many think that this is going to be fairly quick, like less than a week. But, you know, an hour being stuck inside your house, terrified that you're going to get killed, or your family's going to get killed, or your neighbors are going to get killed or arrested. You know, I mean, that's a lifetime. And there's also talk of something else which has happened in the past, and when the Israeli military invades Bethlehem for Christmas, to play the hero by making Bethlehem safe for the Christian tourists to come in, so-called safe. And the only thing that anybody here has to fear is the Israeli military. And they string the lights and guard the church, and they allow the foreign tourists to go inside of the church of Nativity, and Palestinians who live here, who are Christian, are not allowed.